Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we're dust. Isn't God good? Amen. Hasn't this been a wonderful anniversary day? Amen. I've been around here for a few of them. But I'm going to tell you, I don't believe we've had any better music. I started to say preaching, but I'm a little bit too reserved for that. I don't think we've had any better music than we've had today. Amen. Brother Phipps, may I salute you, my brother. Amen. What a marvelous thing. Nothing fancy, nothing showing, just praising God. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. And Amanda, you and your trio did well. You really did. I understand this is the first time you've sung at this place, this point, this time. First time tonight, I know. And then Jennifer, God bless you. That took us all the way up, didn't it? Well, it's good to be in God's house. By the way, did you see that frog on the screen? That was one of Brother Rigsby's disguises. Be careful, you never know where he's going to jump next. Well, it's good to be in God's house, and it's good to celebrate the 54th anniversary of Worth Baptist Church, a church that has reached around the world, literally, with millions of dollars invested in missions across the nations of earth. And we are indeed grateful to be a part of this great church and to be with you again this evening. Now, would you open your Bible? Oh, by the way, when we open the Bible, remember the Bible opens the mind of God. Again, I want to see what God's thinking about in Hebrews chapter number 3, the third chapter of Hebrews. And as you're finding your place, I should remind you again that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let's see what the Bible is saying to us personally and individually. And I hope you'll keep your Bible open to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, because we'll be looking at a number of passages. Now, I had several concerns this morning that my message was too short. I may make up for it tonight. Just kidding, folks. I learned a long time ago a sermon doesn't have to be eternal to be immortal. So just sit back and relax for a few moments. Hebrews chapter number 3, I read verse 1 through verse 6 after we pray. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity. When we think about the 54 years of the history of this great church, thank you for our pastor, for our people. Thank you for the history. Thank you for what's going on even now and what will happen in the days to come as Jesus delays his coming. I just pray that we might all live in readiness for his return. May we understand that we're in the last days, turbulent, troubled times, difficult, times that try the hearts and spirits of men. But we're thankful that our anchor holds in the midst of the storm. Jesus Christ is our rock of ages, and he's our ark of safety. We hide in him and ask your blessings upon the reading of the scripture. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 3 at verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take an imaginary trip into history for a moment or two tonight. Let's go back about 3,500 years. We travel to the wilderness of Sinai. We approach the camp of the Israelites. It is Tishri the 10th in the Hebrew calendar, or October the 10th in our calendar. And we go to the Day of Atonement. And what shall we see? We shall see the high priest in all of his goodly garments as he enters into the tabernacle in the wilderness. Remember, the tabernacle was divided basically into two compartments, the holy place and the most holy place. The holy place was where the congregation met, the people that came in to worship before God. And by the way, worship is an important thing. The music is a part of the worship. The prayers are a part of the worship. Everything that goes on is a part of the worship. It's important that we worship God in the beauty of holiness. So they met there in the holy place, and the curtain or the veil that divided the most holy place or the holy of holies from the holy place. Aaron lifted that curtain up with a rope tied around his ankle in the event that he had a heart attack while he was in there. They could literally pull him out because nobody was allowed beyond that veil except the high priest, and except on the Day of Atonement. And there he went to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat between the two cherubim representing the presence of God. That's where he met with God. And he sprinkled the blood as an atonement for his own sins, the Bible says, and then for the sins of the people. Let's travel back into the first century. Let's come to the day and time of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the author and editor and arranger of all time. And I like to think about him as being past, present, and future. But as we look at the past and we see him on the cross, making a sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, not for his sins, but for yours and mine, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. A fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And thank God he did not take the blood of goats and calves. Paul will tell us in another place in the 9th chapter, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered the holy place, having made a redemption for us, offered an eternal sacrifice for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And I hope tonight that you will consider him as the Lord and Master and Savior, Preserver, Securer of your life. Look again at verse 1 in my text. High priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. By the way, he was not self-appointed. The next verse tells us that God appointed him. He is sovereign. He is supreme. He's sufficient. He's our Savior. He's supernal. He's our sacrifice. He's our shepherd. He's our substitute. He's our all and all. What we need, we find in him. And I'm anxious to tell you that sin cannot contaminate him because he's perfect. Death has no power over him because he conquered it. Time cannot age him because he's ageless. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Can I tell you the grave could not contain him? Because he's the resurrection and the life. Satan cannot destroy him. He's omnipotent. He has all power. Satan is powerful, but Jesus Christ is all powerful. Because he's God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, that's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching now. I thought I'd tell you when I got ready. I've entitled the message, Christ, our great high priest. Let's look at him tonight. First of all, consider him as our merciful and faithful high priest. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, I ask you to keep your Bible open at Hebrews. You may want to turn there. I'll read it for you. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now I want you to notice two words in those verses. The word succor means to sympathize with or to support. It has a more literal meaning, which means to run to those who need help. Aren't you glad he ran to us when we needed help? Yes. Brother Phipps sang it this morning, when we could not come to where he was, he came to where we were. That word reconciliation, it means to accept the provision. To be reconciled, one has to accept the provision that God made. Now watch this. In order that your sins can be removed and that you can be justified in God's sight through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death upon the cross. Amen. Remove our sins. By the way, how far did he remove them? Well, I just gave it to you earlier in Psalm 103 at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our sins from us. Could anybody tell me how far it is from the east to the west? I read somewhere that a poet said, east is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet. That means I'll never meet my sins. They're already covered by the blood. They're washed. I'm ransomed. I'm redeemed. I'm justified. Which means as just as if I'd never been a sinner. Doesn't that make you feel good? Wow. As if we had never been sinners. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Jesus has given to us a position that nobody else could give us. We stand before God justified because we've been reconciled, because our sins have been forgiven. To wit, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God, listen now, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And I want to tell you, the only way you can be reconciled is through Jesus Christ, the great high priest. Now, secondly, consider him as our holy and harmless high priest. Holy, all the goodness of God is in him. Harmless, he never hurt anybody. Undefiled, stainless, and without any blemish. Separate from sinners, that's his perfect manhood. Made higher than the heavens, that's his perfect godhood, his deity. Paul puts it this way in Hebrews 7:26, beginning at 26 and through 28. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Can't get much higher than the heavens, folks. He's all the way up there, but he's here too. Isn't that great? But that's our God. That's Jesus Christ. Who needeth not daily as those high priests, that is the priest of the Aaronic priesthood, as those priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once. Underscore that word once. This he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, now follow this carefully, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forever. Turn over to chapter 7 with me for a moment. Verse 21. Now watch this. For those priests, he's speaking of the priest of Aaron's day and Aaron's priesthood. Those priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, and now he's quoting Psalm 110 and verse 4. By the way, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. The Lord swear and will not repent that thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests. Because they were not suffered, they were not permitted, they were not allowed to continue by reason of death. But this man, that's Jesus, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Don't look for any changes in his priesthood. And I'm glad we have a church that's not making changes every other week. Changing the music, changing the message, changing the methods. Staying by the old stuff, folks. The traditions that were once delivered to the saints. Let's stay with it, folks. That's where we are. And I'm going to tell you something. A church like Worth Baptist Church will be unique before long, because these churches that are going to contemporary music and all the hopping and hollering and shouting and jumping and rolling in the aisles and barking like dogs, they're going to lose it. This church is going to keep it. Forever, Christ is the same priest. Well, let's go to number three. Consider him as our great high priest, who identifies with us in our temptations. Suffered any temptations lately? Don't tell me the devil doesn't come around your house or your business or your job. Well, he'll even tempt you on the church pew. Hello? But he, our great high priest, has been there. Let's see what Paul says in Hebrews 4 at verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, not some, but all points, every way that we have ever been tempted, he has been tempted. As he was a man, remember, on the earth, tempted as we are, like as we are, yet, I love this, without sin. Let us therefore come apologetically. No, no. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Tempted in all points. You know what that means? That's like saying, Jesus has been there. He knows how you are tempted. He knows what the devil can do. The devil tried to get him to sin, remember? Bow down and worship him. To turn bread into stones. Seen some that I thought somebody worked on that way, but he tried to get Jesus to... Here's what he was trying to do. To get Jesus to get him away from depending on God. Jesus could have done all those things, but he knew that you and I couldn't, so we know what he did. He said, it is written. That's where we go, to the written word of God when we're tempted. In all points. You see, he knows. He understands. He sympathizes. He loves. He forgives. Therefore, we can go without apology. We can go without any hesitation or reservation to his throne of grace and find the mercy and the grace that we need to help us in the time of need. Oh, grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Help me to live as though I'm already there. That's what I think we ought to do. Just, you know what being spiritual is? It's looking at things on earth from heaven's standpoint. So, and I don't want you to be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. I know a few people around like that. Most of them over in Georgia, none of them here in Texas. But I'm telling you, folks, we can be spiritual even in an unspiritual world. We can be sane in an insane world. We can be clean in an unclean world. We can be godly in an ungodly world. Because we have one who was tempted in all points like as we are. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Number four. Consider him as our great high priest who made one sacrifice for sin. I read it from Hebrews 9, beginning at verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Remember, there was a tabernacle made with hands, and I laid it out for you, the holy place, the most holy place, the mercy seat, so forth and so on. He did not enter into holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, underline it, underscore it, once in the end of the world, capitalize it, centralize it, crystallize it, canonize it as the act of creation. Listen to me, as the act of creation was one time done, one deal, it'll never be duplicated. As the act of salvation on Calvary was one time, one deal, it will never, 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 never be duplicated. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Wow. Number five. Consider him as our great high priest who has passed into the heavens. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Watch it now. Let us hold fast our profession. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ passed into the heavens, he left the gate wide open so you and I could go in. We could enter that celestial city of God where the sun never sets, where we never grow, and where the soul of man will never die. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Who will come and go with me? Thy heavenly home is bright and fair. Nor pain nor death can enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. And by the way, if you get there before I do, look for me. I'm coming too. Because I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. I praise the Lord I ever found this way. When this whole world's on fire, you may know I've gone up higher, for I'm climbing Jacob's ladder every day. Come on and climb with me, folks. Number six. I'm enjoying this. If I didn't enjoy it, you certainly wouldn't. Consider him as our great high priest who sat down. I love that. Who sat down. When yonder high priest in the Aaronic priesthood, Aaron, went into the Holy of Holies, there was no chair. There was no seat. He could not sit down. He could not rest. His labors were never done. He would come back next year on Tishri the 10th, and the next, and the next, and the next. But look at this. He sat down at the right hand of God in heaven, where he is the mediator of a better covenant. Thank God for a better covenant. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. We have such an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now watch it. The throne of the majesty in the heavens. As and a minister, verse 2 says, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched. You know, Moses and those fellows pitched that tent out in the wilderness. But God, the God of the universe, creator, consummator of all things, the Lord pitched that tent and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest like these are, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Everything Jesus has is better. He's a better Savior. He's a better priest. He's a better Lord. He's a better master. He's a better friend. No wonder we can sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. This is a new covenant. The old covenant is faded. If you read the rest of those verses in chapter 8, Paul says it's faded away. And a new covenant has come in, which is better because it's built on better promises. What does a mediator do? A mediator is one who goes between two people and brings them together. They're at odds with each other. And the mediator takes this one by one hand and this one by another and brings them together. How many times in 35 years of pastoring this church, a wife would call me or a husband said, come, you got to come to our house. We're about to kill each other. I was the mediator. And I was brave enough to sit down on the couch between them. Wow. And we talked these things out. And we'd pray. And I'd take one of them's hand and put it over the other one like that. I was their mediator. I brought them together. And they're still together. And I want to tell you tonight that our Lord Jesus took the hand of God and placed his hand over our hand and he brought us together. He built a bridge and tore down all the barriers so we could get to God. Wow, what a savior. What a high priest. Number 7. That's a perfect number and I'll be through. Consider him as our great high priest who is making intercession for us. He's doing that even as I speak, ladies and gentlemen. The intercessor is that go-between. You see, when Jesus was on earth, listen now, when Jesus was on earth, he represented God to us. Now that he's in heaven, he's representing us to God. He's making intercession for us. And you know, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wherefore, he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Our great high priest. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed as everyone stands. Without any pressure, without any pulling or pushing or begging or whatever. If you need to spend a moment with the intercessor down here at the altar, he's able. He'll forgive every sin. Nobody's perfect, folks. We all make our mistakes. Christians, we all sin. But remember, he's the great high priest who's the intercessor for us. And if we confess our sins, he promised he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, would you move out of your seat and down to the front? Spend a moment on your knees with the intercessor. You'll feel better about the whole thing. Father, speak to all of our hearts tonight. We need you. We love you. We long for your presence. We long for your power. We long for your acceptance of us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be so. In his name.